Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everyone. It is now the 8:30 hour. Time for Words of Wisdom, plain and simple. And I'm your host, Diane Adams, a servant of God. As always, it's an honor, it's a privilege to be able to come before you on Wednesday night. And I thank God for allowing me to be able to be in this position. I don't take it lightly. And I pray that the words that go forth as we study the Word of God, that each and every one of you ask yourself the question, what is God saying to me? Our lesson tonight is coming from the book of Peter. It's a short book. It was only 5 chapters. I ask you guys to read the entire book. I pray that as we continue with the lessons that we started from the beginning of last year, doing something from each book of the Bible, that the Bible has become smaller to you when you look at it with better understanding, knowledge, and truth. I pray that each book gave you some insight as to what God is saying to his people. We have to remember that the Bible is God speaking to us. And the only way for us to know God is through his word. The Bible is where God reveals himself to us. Our lesson tonight is coming out of the book of 1 Peter. And there is a 2 Peter. And the title of the lesson is, Be a Good Steward of the Grace That God Has Given You. As always, I play a song, and after the song, anyone who would like to pray can press the 1 button, and we'll go and explore the Word of God together. The record that I chose is Be Ready, you know, because that portrayed a message. The song portrays a message that I believe that Peter in 1 Peter, and I'm sure as well in 2 Peter, was trying to reveal to us, that we have to be ready. Jesus is coming back. So I'm going to play the song, and then we'll get together and explore the Word of God. Thank you.
lost everything, but I still had you. You showed me your grace. Now my life's renewed, and I thank you. Yes, I thank you. So I'm telling anyone who will listen, I'll testify about how good you were to me when so.
In a lesson tonight, we have to be ready. You know, you have to decide when it's all said and done how God looks at you, how God got glory from what you did. You know, that's that part you play in it. Yes, Jesus was the ultimate sacrifice. Yes, God did give his only son. And they did their part. And your part should be to be ready at all times to do the things that God has asked us to do. The title of our lesson is Be a Good Steward of God's Grace. You know, we're coming from 1 Peter in the 4th chapter, and we're going to do verses 1 through 11. But when you look at this title, I have to speak on it a little bit before we go any further. But before we do that, we have to go to the throne of grace, and anyone who would like to pray, press the number one button on your phone. If not, we're going to go on and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, gracious God, here it is once more and again that you have allowed us to come together to explore your word. Heavenly Father, we take this time out of our schedule because we want to know you more. And Lord, we realize that when we study or when we come to your throne, that it doesn't make you a better God because you are all good. But it's for us to use for ourselves in our daily walk and talk here on earth as we wait for Jesus to return. Lord, I thank you for Peter, the writer of this lesson. And I pray that each and every one of us receive a message, what Peter is trying to tell us. Everything in the Bible, dear God, we know you inspired it. And you chose, dear God, everyone you wanted to write it. And if something in there for us, let us not miss it, dear God. Open our ears that we can truly hear, our eyes that we can truly see. And Lord, please open our heart that we may receive. Heavenly Father, look down upon everybody that calls in, dear God, their homes, their families, their health, their finances, dear God, their pain, their suffering, dear God. Anything that they may be going through, trials, tribulations that come their way. Lord, we just have to accept it and realize that you are in total control and nothing take you by surprise, dear God. And in the midst of all of it, you working it out together for our good. And for that, dear God, all we can say is thank you. Hallelujah to your wonderful name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Help us, dear God, to do the things that you have given us to do and allow us to be good stewards over the grace that you have bestowed towards us. Heavenly Father, all of these blessings and others, I ask in your darling son Jesus' name, amen and thank God. And as we look at the title again, it says, be a good steward. So to really understand what Peter is saying in this chapter, be a good steward of the grace that God has given us, is telling you when God made provisions for you to be saved, and we accepted his son as our Savior by faith. We received grace. Now, grace is what's actively working in and through and for us while we wait for Jesus. So since God has given us this gift of grace, we should be good stewards in how we handle it. You need to know tonight that a steward is anyone that is taking care of something for someone else until they come back to receive it. You know, we are stewards in our lives with everything that God has given us. You know, we are stewards of our homes, our cars. We are stewards over our children. We are stewards on our job. So when I say be a good steward in every area of your life, is how God will get the glory. And the only way you could be a good steward is to recognize that everything belongs to God. Everything. And God didn't give you anything just for yourself. You know, the Bible says that the earth is the Lord's, the fullness thereof, the world, and everything that dwells therein. So tonight, as we look at 1 Peter, I'm asking you to to acknowledge that you're a steward. Thank God for choosing you and giving you the things that he did and has given you and is giving you right now and has promised to give you. And make a commitment to be a good steward over the grace that God has given us. So right now I'm going to do the background, and I want you to know that Peter is the author of the First and Second Peter. You see, he was called Simon Peter, also known as Cephas, was one of the 12 disciples. Matter of fact, Peter was one of the first followers of Jesus Christ. Peter was very outspoken, and he was an arrogant disciple. But he was one of Jesus' closest friends, an apostle, and a pillar of the church. Peter was enthusiastic, very strong-willed. Plenty of times he was impulsive, and at times, brash. But for all of his strengths, Peter had several failings in his life. You see, still the Lord who chose Peter, just like he chose each one of us, before the foundation of the world, continued to mold him into exactly who he intended Peter to be. We have to remember that the gift that we have, the whatever we have, God decided that way before the world begun. And in this time, as we wait for Jesus to come back, he's working it out together for our good. And everything that God created, it was for his glory. You see, God, even though Peter was like he was, God had a lot of things for Peter to do. So God didn't give up on him because of his shortcomings and his failures. And you see, the word of God teaches us that God does not allow our past to dictate our future. You see, Peter was married, and he and James and John, they was partners in a profitable fishing business. This was Peter before he met Jesus. You see, Simon, who was Peter, they called him Simon, met Jesus through his brother Andrew, who followed Jesus after hearing John the Baptist proclaim that Jesus was the Lamb of God. Andrew immediately went to find his brother to bring him to Jesus. Now, you see, Andrew is a good brother. Andrew heard something, saw something, thought it was good, and he wasn't selfish to want to keep it to himself, because immediately he went to his brother. We might have some members in our family, sisters or brothers, and they hear about something good that could help us. But sometimes people have a way of keeping it to themselves, so they figure that's going to make them shine above you, which is selfish. But Andrew, who was Peter's brother, immediately went to tell him about somebody who could save anybody. You see, upon meeting Simon, Jesus gave him a new name. Cephas was the Arabic name, and Peter was the Greek name. The name Peter, which is a Greek name, means rock. You see, later Jesus officially called Peter to follow him, producing a miraculous catch of fish. You know, Peter and them was fishing that day, and they couldn't catch nothing. And Jesus went to him and told him, throw the nets back in the water. You know, because they were professional fishermen. They knew the waters. They knew the times. They knew the signs. They thought it was unnecessary to do what Jesus said. But they obeyed. See, that's why they say it's better to obey than to sacrifice. And from what we learn about Peter, I could just hear him, man, we done did everything we could do. Jesus said, yeah, maybe you did, but throw it back in the water. Peter even may have made the comment, that just wouldn't make no sense. And you know how we make excuses and when we don't want to obey or do sometime what we are asked to do, we go into the he's and the haws and the this and the that and why not. But they obeyed. And when they did, they both couldn't hardly hold the catch of the day. You see, after Peter saw that, immediately Peter left everything behind to follow Christ. You see, for the next 3 years, Peter lived as a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, being a natural-born leader. Come on, y'all. You know how some people are naturally born leaders? I think often of Martin Luther King, and, you know, I know the school, the education, and associations that he had didn't make him the leader that it was. It was divine from God. It was in him before he even knew it. See, God put things in us to use when he want, how he want. And it's already in you. Each one of us received a gift, and it's already in us. Peter, being a natural-born leader, became the spokesman for the 12. More significantly, it was Peter who first confessed Jesus as the Christ, the Son of the living God. The truth which Jesus said was divinely revealed to Peter. You know, it was a time when Peter was with his disciples, and Peter and God, Jesus, was with his disciple, and he asked him, he said, who do men say I am? Do you ever sit down and wonder, you know, like, some people say, oh, she's so this and she's so that. You know, it could be good things and accolades, but sometimes you feel like you are not that. You can't totally receive that. You know, at some point you got to always say, God, who do you say I am? And when he begins to reveal it, then you know who you truly are. So he asked them, Who do men say I am? Some of them say they say you Elijah. Ha ha. Some say that he was whoever. And Peter boldly spoke. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And even after Peter said it, Jesus knew it was right. But Peter also said that was not revealed. Or you couldn't come up with that at this time with just your mind. He said it was divinely revealed. Hallelujah. You see, we're talking about Peter. Jesus promised that Peter would be fundamental in building the church. And Peter did accomplish it in 3 stages. I want to let you know tonight, you know, before the church was established in Pentecost, the Jews were the chosen people, the Gentiles, and later on the Samaritans. The Samaritans, the Jews looked down upon them and called them dogs, and the Gentiles was just people other than a Jew, but they weren't saved. But oh, when Peter preached on the day of Pentecost, he fulfilled 3 stages at one time for what God wanted to have done. You see, when he preached, the Samaritans got the Holy Ghost. Come on, y'all. That's in Acts chapter 8. And then he talked to a Roman centurion named Cornelius. Y'all know about Cornelius, who was a Gentile. And Cornelius began to believe, and he received the Holy Ghost in the 10th chapter. You see, and Jesus and Peter also brought the church to the Jews. Because you got to realize the Jews Some of them did, and not all of them, and even today some of them still don't believe that Jesus is the Messiah. But when Peter did this, he opened the church to the Jews, the Gentiles, and the Samaritans. See, God don't have no respect of persons. And it's just so amazing that the beautiful thing in the beautiful thing, grace, and the beautiful mercy, and the beautiful thing of salvation, God says in his words that it is his desire that all sorts of men be saved. God is not leaving anybody out. He's not counting anybody else. You see, man gonna pick and choose who they want to receive what they want to receive. But God opened the door fully. Some of us and most of us who have accepted it. But how many more people you know have not? It's a gift. It's free. You see, plenty of people didn't want to listen to Peter because they said he was unschooled and ordinary. But you see, after Peter kept holding on to his faith and preaching with boldness and talking and preaching the gospel and all of that, it made them take a look at Peter, and then they realized he had been with Jesus. And I come to tell you tonight, being with Jesus make all the difference. You see, when Peter wrote this letter, 1 Peter, he wrote it to encourage the suffering Christians. You know, by this time when Peter wrote this letter, you know, when the New Testament opened, it was under the Roman era. Remember when we did the 400 years between the Old and the New Testament, and they had an era where the Assyrians was over, the Babylonians was over, and the Greeks was the last ones in the 400 period. So when the New Testament opened, the Romans were still over. You know, the Jews was in the Roman Empire, and Rome had, how should I say it? They had authority. They had the power. And the Jews wasn't really slaves. And at that time, when the New Testament opened, it was a good time. Rome wasn't that concerned with Christians talking about Jesus. But when we look in 1 Peter tonight, all hell had broke loose, and they were ready to just get rid of those followers of Christ by any means necessary. You see, Peter wrote this letter to encourage because they were suffering and being abused and prosecuted for believing and obeying Jesus. You see, it started in Jerusalem at the hand of their own Jewish brothers, those Jews who did not believe in Jesus. And then the persecution spread to the rest of the empire, the rest of the whole world, really, wherever Christians gather. This came to a climax when Rome determined to rid the empire of the Christ ones who would not bow down to Caesar. So at this time, no Christian had peace. So we're going to go into the word. So I'm going to read, I'm in 1 Peter, the fourth chapter. I'm going to read the first and second verse. It says, "For as much then as Christ had suffered for us in the flesh." Listen what it says. "For as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourself likewise with the same mind. For he that had suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin." He's saying Jesus suffered. He gave his life. He was beat, spit on. You know, they try to throw him off a cliff, stone him, and you know, people turn their backs on him. They say he suffered, but he didn't sin. And, you know, I have to bring it, you know, we're talking about the persecution of the Christian, but let's just keep that in mind. But let's just think about any kind of suffering you might be having on your job, suffering you might be having in your family, in your neighborhood. You know, we see on TV all the time, they might have a little good neighbor and a bad neighbor, and that bad neighbor give the good neighbor pity trouble, which comes to us as forms of suffering. But he said, just as Jesus suffered, arm yourself with the same mind that he that suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. When we suffer in the flesh with things that might be in our lives that's not right or just doing right because it's the right thing to do, and we may look at it as suffering, he said, just keep doing it because it will cease you from sin. You know how we sometimes have to suffer for doing what is right? What he no longer, and the second verse say that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lusts of men, but to the will of God. Once we accepted Christ, we should no longer keep living that way, the way we did before we met Christ, which is the lust of men, but we should be converted to the will of God. You see, Peter would write such a letter, and he could write such a letter because he knew persecution firsthand. Peter had been beaten, jailed several times, and often threatened, but in the midst of it all, he stayed faithful. He was determined to finish the course at all costs. The commitment God calls us to have is nothing greater than the commitment Jesus had in enduring suffering for our salvation. You know, sometimes people say, well, they don't like me. Well, they didn't like Jesus. They talk about me. They talked about Jesus. They're not treating me right. They didn't treat him right either. And all of his suffering he had to endure was for you. But he stayed faithful to the will of his Father. No, you are not Jesus, but Jesus suffered because of evildoers and people. That's the same people today. So what make you think you're not going to have some suffering? You see, in the last days, we need to have commitment to God that will endure through great struggles. Jesus communicated the same commitment when he told us that anyone who would come after him should take up his cross and follow him. Jesus said, must Jesus bear the cross alone and all the world go free? Y'all know about that. No, there's a cross for everyone. There's a cross for you and a cross for me. So don't get it twisted. And it's never what come your way, it's who you go through it with. And if you ever suffer for doing what is right, God honors that. And then when you look upon his face, you're going to be able to have exceedingly more joy because you knew your suffering was not in vain. You see, taking up your cross meant that you were committed and not looking back. And looking back where to the old things you used to do. So many people say the things I used to do, I don't do no more. Well, praise God, don't look back. They say, how stupid is it to do things now that you did when you were ignorant and didn't have the truth of God? And yet you do those things now. You know, it is if he's saying, Peter, talking about Jesus and bearing a cross, you know, there's always, you know, pain plenty times to get gain. You know, the world even say no pain, no gain. You see, suffering help us to be like Christ. Yet people will do anything to avoid pain. and they make all kind of excuses. You see, really, when it's all said and done, pain and danger reveals our true value. And you know, sometimes God allows pain so that it can mature us. Sometimes he allows us to be tested so that we could grow. But in it all, he's working it out for your good. Anyone who suffer for doing good and still be faithful and obey in spite of the suffering can make a clean break from sin. You know, anything that you're doing that you think is not of God and you're trying to do it, it seems so hard, you know. But if you suffer through it, you know, time has a way of making things better or worse. But if you can turn your back on the thing and keep saying no to the thing, you can have a clean break from sin. And verse 3 and 4 say, for the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the wills of the Gentiles. They saying in times in our lives, our old lives, for those who saved and those who are not saved, the life we're living now, they say to the wills of the Gentiles. Remember, the Gentiles was anything that was other than a Jew. And Gentiles were not chosen by God. So they lived and did however they wanted. They had their own gods that they worship and everything. He said, why would you, you know, in the past, we lived as Gentiles because we weren't looking to Jesus. But now that you have Jesus, why would you still live a life of unsaved people the way they lived their life? You see, when we walked in Leviticusness, lust, excessive of wine, it didn't say don't drink wine, they say excess of wine, reveling, banqueting, and abominable idolatry. See, that's the kind of way you live before you met Jesus. And verse 4 says, wherein they think it strange that ye run not with them in the same excess of riot. And then it says, speaking evil of you. He's saying, you know, the people who you ran with and did things with and, you know, and was a part of it, you know, he say when you begin to change, they think it's strange that you don't want to run with them no more. And then they start speaking evil of you. But Peter realized we have all spent enough time living like the world. Now we are called to live like Christians. It is a profound and foolish waste of time for Christians to live like the world, and we must stop being double-minded and compromising our faith at every turn and just start living as Christians. And people be ready to pull their old nature out, their old man. Because sometimes people say, you know, she told me something and I told her something back, but she don't know who I am. Baby, I was just ready to pull my old man out, you know, my old nature out and go to work. But that's foolish. And then what you would have gained from it? When we make a radical change for Jesus, it may contempt our old friends. You see, what happens is your life incriminates them because their lives is led in the opposite direction. They ain't ready for you with all this Jesus stuff. And they see your change taking place, and they're not willing to change at this time. And they believe, I'm sure, they still have time. And many of them believe that it don't take all of that, what you're doing, to please God. And it ain't necessary, and God is not like that. And then, of course, they quote the Bible wrong, and they have misinterpretation of the Bible, and they're not dealing in truth because they really believe that they're afforded the privilege to make it up as they go. They believe they got to say what to, what you have to do and what you don't have to do. And they're not basing it on a true word because they're not studying the Bible. They're not reading the Bible. But Peter's saying, with all of that being said, you must be willing to help them in the Word of God. Now, helping them, you can't beat them over the head. You can't make them accept the Word of God. You can't give them salvation. But whenever you have the opportunity, and you've got to pick the opportunities, you got to know your audience. You just sprinkle a little seed on it, and you keep it moving. You know, it wouldn't make no sense if every time somebody who ain't doing right, you come and you tell them about what they ain't doing. They know what they ain't doing. But you see, the Word of God is love. So not only do you have to tell them about love, you have to show them love, even in the midst of their trials. And if we look at verse 5 and 6, it says, who shall give account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead? Peter asking a question. Who got to give an account? For who will judge the quick and the dead? We know that God and Jesus is the mighty judges. And they say, who have to give an account? So some people don't believe you have to give an account to God. Some people don't even believe there's a hell, so of course they're going to heaven. Some people believe that you won't be judged, and some people have really a misconception. Listen to what I'm saying. Of what we will be judged for. And 6 said, for this cause was the gospel preached unto them that are dead. So he's saying, who's going to be judged? He said, the ones that's dead. He's telling us right then. He said, the gospel was preached also to them that are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but according to God in the spirit. He's saying, even the ones that's dead has been preached the gospel. Even in the Old Testament, it talked about the Messiah coming. God gave an example of Abraham, and because of his faithfulness, God accounted to him righteousness, and righteousness produced grace. There was all kind of characters in the Bible that followed God. Jesus wasn't here in the Old Testament, but they still had to believe, which meant they had to have faith, and anytime you have faith, it produces grace. I hope y'all got that. You see, he said, he was talking about, you know, who going to be judged? Who's going to have to give an account? And Peter's letting us know, everybody, the ones that's alive at the time and the ones that's dead. You see, because the basis of salvation, get this, y'all, the basis of salvation is our belief in Christ. But the basis for judgment is how we have lived. Come to tell you tonight, everyone will be judged, but there's a different judging that's going to go on. You see, those who believe in Christ, accepted him as their Savior, you remember John 3:16 say, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believed will be saved. And Jesus said he took away the sins of the world and threw them in a sea of forgiveness that it'll never come up again. If you believe this, you believe that, you can understand what I'm fixing to say. Everyone will be judged, but believers will be judged for the rewards they receive, not the sins they committed. Because if you got to be judged for your sin, where is Jesus Christ in all of this? Jesus died for your sin. God said, once you accept my son, I can no longer see your sin. Jesus said, when I come back, I'm coming back with my rewards in my hand. Those in Christ is going to go to the judgment seat of Christ. And at the judgment seat of Christ, you're going to receive your rewards. Are they going to look at what you've done here on earth, how you lived? But unbelievers is going to be unbelieved. They're going to be judged for punishment. Get this, y'all. Jesus took away the sins of the world. Now, somebody tell me, Sister Diane, you say that, and that's just like giving somebody a license to sin. I'm not giving you a license to sin, because remember, if you begin to love God, you want to obey him. The Bible tells us we all fall short of the glory of God, and we all going to make mistakes. But you're not doing good to be saved. Because you are saved, you should want to do good. I pray that y'all get that. Jesus is going to be on the judgment seat of Christ. They call it the Bema seat. Why would Jesus be judging all of your sins if he done forgiven them? So you have to answer the question today. Do you believe that Jesus took away your sins? Took away the sins of the whole world. He didn't say, I took away the sins for the first 10 years of your life, for the last 10 years of your life. Because it was a time frame. I know God is smart enough to have said it. I took away the sins of the world. And we can only receive salvation by believing in Jesus. So if we Christians and we receive salvation, why we would go to a judgment seat to say if we saved or not? Think about it. And you see, once Jesus come back and take the living and the dead, and he take them away with him, everybody left on earth is going to have a second chance. And then once that time is ended, it's going to be the last day. And God is going to do judgment. Some people during that period of time, oh, I'm getting in Revelation, and I must be getting y'all ready for the lesson coming up a little bit. But in that time, it's going to decide if you're going to heaven or going to be with Jesus or going to hell. But the Bible tells us when Christians go before Christ, it's for our rewards. All will give an account unto God, and we have to be ready. We must be good stewards of the grace that God has given unto us. That's what our title is. You see, grace is the greatest motivation for doing what is right. Remember, you will stand before God and give an account of what you have been doing in the flesh. And watch this. Only the things that you have done for Christ will last through eternity. Everything else is going to melt away with a fervent heat. The Bible tells us that. This should give us a new perspective on our activities and actions that we do while we wait for Jesus to return. Remember the parable of the talents that Jesus gave to the people and see what they would do with them when he come back. The same thing, that parable was an illustration for us. It should be your desire to him. It should be your desire to be able to hear him say, "Well done." You see, many people in the early church was concerned about the dead, their loved ones who died before Jesus returned. But here Peter is reminding the readers that the dead in the faith and those out of the faith will be judged. He's saying, he who is going to judge the quick and the dead is going to judge them all. You know, I was talking to my aunt the other night, and my auntie was telling me about two ladies that she knew. And the two ladies got in some kind of altercation and about something, but it was so long ago. It was long, 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 long ago. And these two ladies, both of them stood firm to their conviction. And they stopped speaking to each other. Long, 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 long time ago. And my aunt said she had the opportunity to speak to each one of them after a long I want y'all to understand this. I ain't talking about 5 or 10 years. I don't know the time frame, but I'm talking over and over. And every time these two individuals get to have someone to lend them an ear, they talk about this thing that happened long, long, long time ago. But my aunt was able to tell each one of them, if I remember how the story goes. And, you know, and when she said it, it wasn't the first time I heard her say it. But it just, maybe because I was doing Peter and it could fit into the lesson. But she told one lady, she said, "You know, you're not speaking to her and you acting like this towards her and you talking about her and you can't forgive her." She said, "But when we go before God, God ain't going to ask you what she did. He's not going to even be concerned with what you say she did. He's going to judge you for you." And then she had the opportunity to talk to the other lady, and she shared that same thing. But that was so profound to me because, you see, if you're in an altercation or non-forgiving or hating your parents or your mama did something you didn't like when you was little, and if you're doing all of that with unforgiveness, and when you get there, you know, you might be trying to say, "Well, you know, he hurt me and he did this." God's not going to judge. God's going to judge them separately and in his own way. But when you stand and before, you have to answer for yourself. You know, and I guess maybe you'd say, "Well, why you didn't start speaking to her? Why you didn't let it, you know, you didn't let it go either. Two wrongs don't make a right." And what came to my mind after that was, you know, there'll be a time when every tub will have to stand on its own bottom. And as Peter said right there, dead or alive. And I'm going to read 7 all the way to 11. They say, "The end of all things is at hand." Peter is saying, look, y'all better get it right. He said, "So you better be ye therefore sober, watch unto prayer. And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves. For charity shall cover a multitude of sins." And charity also means love, because plenty of people say love covers, but this scripture is saying charity, and charity and love is sort of the same thing. Number 9 say, "Use hospitality one to another without grudging. As every man have received a gift, even so minister the same one to another. And the scripture says, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. See, that's where I got the title from. And a manifold means many and various, various, you know, get the grace. He's saying, be good stewards of the manifold grace of God. And manifold means many and various. There's many ways that God is extending grace to you. There's many ways he has given. He's doing it in every form and fashion for your good. I just ask you tonight to be a good steward. And then verse 11 is the last one we're going to talk on tonight. For any man speak, let him speak as an article. What that mean, an article of God? That means someone with wisdom, someone with knowledge and truth, as a priest or a priestess. You know, just whenever speak of wisdom, speak in wisdom. They say, and if any man minister, let him do so as of the ability which God giveth. What they saying? Everybody don't have the same ability, but everybody have some. And if you sitting on what God has given you, you don't take time to shed a word with God with no one else. And people are coming in your life daily and trying to get you to expound on God, and you're not. See, you're going to be held for it because you're going to say, I'm not like Joyce Myers. He's not asking you to be. I could never be a Creflo Dollar because you see what God got for you is for you. Don't look at others. Use what God told you to use, what God has given you. To be a steward, something had to be given you to take care of till he come back. Hallelujah. You see, you know, I've been on this program for almost 6 years, and I'm still Diane Adams, plain and simple. And this program is not for everybody. But those who see value in it and keep coming back, God can get the glory. They say, use the ability that God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Christ Jesus, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. You see, Peter is letting us know that the end of all things is at hand. So you better be sober and watch and pray. Getting ready to meet Jesus involves continually growing in love for God and others. That's how you grow in grace. You see, Peter here uses what was taught by Jesus in Matthew 22:37-40. Jesus said unto them, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. And 38, he said, this is the first and greatest commandment. And 39, saying, the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And 40 said, on these two commandments hangs the law and the prophets. In other words, God gave Moses the Ten Commandments on Mount Sinai, and the disciples then was asking Jesus, what was the greatest commandment out of the ten? Jesus gave him two that compromised the ten, because the first four commandments is towards God. The second commandment teaches us how to love one another. But the message that Peter is saying, what is important, is that we have to reach out to others. And you have to realize and get it correct. You see, our possessions, status, and power will mean nothing in God's kingdom. And watch this. But you're going to have to spend eternity with other people. Some of the people you don't like, you didn't forgive. You never helped even though they had a need. You see, so invest your time and talent where that they will make an eternal difference. Some people well aware of their ability to believe that they have the right to them, to use them only for their good and the good for only others who they like. God said, you ain't doing nothing that. He said, that's what heathens do. That's what unsaved people take care of who they like. You're not doing nothing there, brother and sister. And then it says some feel that they have no special gift or talent to be used. And I close tonight. I want you to know everyone has a gift. And even if you haven't discovered your gift, if you see a need that can be met, that you can meet it. In doing so, you will find many gifts in areas that you may not have guessed. While you're waiting to know your gift, you need to be working so God can mix it up and show you through what you're doing. When we become good stewards of grace that God has bestowed to us, this is what will give God praise, honor, and glory. And by doing so, it is the only way that we can do what Jesus taught us to do in Matthew 5:6. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. That's our lesson for tonight. If anybody would like to expound on it, if anybody would like to add anything to it, you could do at this time, you know, if you need prayer, if you want to give words of encouragement, if you want to sing, you want to pray, you could do so at this time by pressing the 1 button on your phone. Well, I think that's it for tonight. I want you to know that next week we're going to be studying 2 Peter. And 2 Peter, I believe, has 3 chapters, so you know what you have to do. Read the entire book. And I already know that I'm going to be coming out of the 3rd chapter out of the 3 chapters. So as we close our program tonight, I want to let each and every one of you know that I'm so grateful. Oh, we got 2 buttons pressed. Caller, your number 985-774. Your mic is open.
Hi, Sister Diane. How you doing? This is Diane. I just wanted to thank you for this Bible study, and it really made me think, when I'm in the valleys, what am I doing? Who am I sharing with? You know what I'm saying? It's making me question, what around me is putting me in this valley? I mean, let's look when I'm in the valley. Let's keep my eyes open and see what I can see. So maybe
right. It'd
be easier for me next time not to get in it.
You got that right. And the scripture I didn't talk about, if y'all read the whole book, the next scripture, verse 12 and 14, Peter said, why, when all of this stuff is coming against you, you act like you don't know what's going on, you know, or like you ain't supposed to be in a valley, you know. And James, in the book of James, James tell us, when you fall into divers of temptations, when you have trials and tribulation, he didn't say if. And when we accepted Christ, it didn't say we was going to garden, but we do have a mighty loving Savior to go through the valley with.
Yes, we do. And even when we are still praying to get out of some things that I keep drawing us back, like smoking cigarettes and things like that, even when we're still praying on these things, we got to realize, as long as we're praying to get out of them, God still loves us, and he's here with the sin.
Right. And let me tell you this, like people who think they so good and they done got everything out of their life, ain't nothing you could do. What you could do could give God praise and honor, but it can't make him be a better God, and it can't make him love you more. Because agape love, which he extended to us, we all got it. Come on now, y'all. And he don't take it back. And he, you know, he said, you my child. You got children here on earth, and they're a pile of mess. But they're your child, and you don't love them less. So what you think a mighty God will do? And I'm not giving a license to keep doing the things that you do, like you said. You know, we pray to get out of it. We have, there's strongholds, there's battles. And then one thing I learned tonight from the lesson, when he said we have to suffer, see, like, the things we want to get away from when we feel we weak, then before we suffer long, we go back because we think we can't. But when we learn to suffer, like you might want it, and then you refuse to, you know, do it, that's what the first scripture was saying, that it takes away the sin. So we learn in all of this, but God does love you in the midst of your trials and your tribulations, your shortcomings, you know, your weakness and all of that.
But he does want to hear from you. Please help me get out. You know, we just
That's
don't
right.
want to sit there and be happy in it, you know.
Right.
So thank
right.
you so much, Sister Diane.
Thank you, sis. I love you.
Love you, too.
Caller, your number is 814-846. Your mic is open.
Hello, this is Greg from Pennsylvania. I'm a first-time listener. I just caught the end of your
oh,
show.
Oh, praise God.
That was a blessing, especially the part about, you know, you have to be who God called you to be. And, you know, the first thing that came to my mind was, you know, in a lot of the local churches and stuff like that, sometimes there's a lot of limited stuff to do. So you're taking on roles where you can do the work, but it's not really geared to you. And what I've noticed is I've just started to get heavy on Blog Talk, and there's such a diverse amount of anointed ministers on here to where, you know, it's like after, you know, participating and being thankful for the rest of the body, I find that God is speaking to me more about my own individual calling. It's like I can let go. It's like, do you ever feel like you're alone and all these positions of authority in the body aren't covered? You're taking on too many burdens. That's just a lie of the devil. And God does have his body covered.
Yes,
and,
he does.
I was just saying, I was blessed, and I'd like to, if you have time, I'd like to get prayer for...
Sure.
Some,
and what's your name?
Greg from Pennsylvania.
Okay, and what you were saying about your prayer?
Yeah, I've been having so many off and on struggles with back pain that it's just really hindering what I want to do for God, enjoying life, you know, enjoying the word. Yeah, I should be enjoying things more that are godly, but it seems like they're just the constant nagging pain has been issues, you know. I believe that's kind of like, you know, it's like I know I'm struggling and I'm in bondage in certain areas of my life, but I feel like, you know, when you have that strength and you have that energy, you know, you can read the word, you can put the time in, you can enjoy his presence. You know, that's been an issue when you want to lay down and sleep all the time. Sometimes that's when the devil attacks you more.
Right. So, my brother, I just want you to know, and when you spoke earlier about, you know, some of the local churches and how they administer what they want people to do or who they assign, you know, we could do like Jesus. Jesus took it to the street. You know, and it could be someone in your neighborhood. It could be someone at a school near you. You know, the need to be fulfilled, you know, don't all have to be in the church. because
Amen.
The church is really a hospital for sick people, but we have made the church the gathering place for only Christians, and then we're not doing really good with some of that. But just keep your eyes open, and God will show you, you know, where he wants you to be. It's not only for the church. And,
oh, amen.
You know,
amen.
You might, you know, and it might, like you say, open your eyes and you see, well, you say, I've never thought about it this way. But you just keep holding on. And, you know, God knows what you're going through. There's nothing that can happen to you or that you can go through that take God by surprise. And
Amen.
God say, no matter what you're going through, he say, I'm right in the middle of it. So with that, you know, with that assurance, it's a good place to be. So I'm going to go ahead and we're going to pray for my brother, and I'm asking everybody else on the telephone line or if you're on a computer, you know, to pray for Brother Greg. And, you know, he had back pain. And, you know, we always ask that we pray for one another during the week. We don't just do this one prayer and hopefully go. Keep him in your prayer. Keep him in your mind that God will do what needs to be done in his life. So as that, with that being said, dear Heavenly Father, gracious God, the giver of every perfect gift, Heavenly Father, we come to you right now touching and agreeing for our brother Greg. Lord, he has called and he has said his back problem to us, dear God, to the brethren and the sisters. And Lord, we asking you right now that you ease his pain, dear God, that you correct whatever the problem is, dear God, that you give him peace, dear God, and don't let him suffer. Lord, you say when we pray to you, we're making our petition known. But in our petition, dear God, and giving you reverence, we're letting you know what we want for Greg. But we're going to accept your will that will be done in his behalf, dear God. Lord, we know that you could do anything but fail. And, Lord, we know that some things that we're going to experience here on this life will not be removed in this life. But when we enter into eternity, everything is going to be made new and fresh. But, Lord, I'm asking that you touch Brother Greg, dear God. Give him the blessings he's in need of. Reveal to him what you would want him to do. Give him strength, dear God. He confessed that he know it's the trick of the devil, dear God. And in the book of James, you say if you resist the devil, he has to flee. Give him strength, dear God, when he's weak. Help him, dear God. Lead him and guide him to all righteousness and truth. Lord, I thank you for him being a part of the body of Christ and a brother in a household of faith. I thank you for allowing him to call my program tonight, and I don't believe it's an accident. Lord, I'm grateful, and I praise you because you're worthy. Thank you, dear God, for what you have already done for Greg. I'm thanking you right now, dear God, for what you're doing for him right now, and I'm thanking you in advance what you promised to do for him. Walk with him, Holy Ghost. Talk with him, Holy Ghost. Let him know who he is. He's a son, a king, and a priest. Heavenly Father, all these blessings and others I ask in Jesus' name. Amen, and thank God. So, Brother Greg?
Amen.
Amen. If God leads you and you decide to call back, I'll be so happy to be with you on Wednesday nights.
Okay. Thank
and
you. I hit the follow button on Blog Talk, so I'll be notified. Thank you.
Thank you so much. And that's our lesson for tonight. And if anybody else would like to say anything, you can do so at this time. You can press the one button, and I'll open the mic for you. If not, and we've already done our prayer, I'll just do a benediction, and I'm getting y'all ready for next week. Remember, read the book of 2 Peter. We're going to study the third verse. And I'm going to close out tonight with a verse, the last verse in the third chapter of Peter. It says, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I would like to add, peace be unto you. And if it's the Lord's will, we'll meet back again. Continue to do God's business, and God will take care of your business. That's our program for tonight. God loves you, and so do I. Good night.